I'm Liz Bobo. Welcome to Reflections on Life. After my 33 years serving in elected office in Howard County, I knew that I did not want to take any jobs that set a schedule for me that I had to stick to on a regular basis. And yet I wanted to keep in contact with the community and with public policy. So I started doing a newsletter entitled Reflections on Life, and it has six categories in it: home in Columbia, my grandson Zach, Baltimore, my hometown, public policy at the local, state, and national level, our planet beyond the U.S., and our universe. So, home in Columbia, the focus of this last month for me in Columbia was on the family of the man who has a building on this campus named after him, and that is Senator Jim Clark. Senator Jim Clark was a mentor of mine, and his family celebrated a big anniversary and family gathering on the Clark farm. Senator Clark initiated no-till farming in the entire United States, and he was also a great advocate for social, economic, and environmental justice, and I was very fortunate to have him as a friend and a mentor. So, reflections on my grandson, Zach. This year, we all went for our annual week-long vacation in the Outer Banks, our family, and we went to a different house this year. And it was a very hard move for me to make because we were no longer in the house where we were when Zach was there with us. And yet, he was every bit as present this year as he was when we were back in the house where he stayed with us. And he was in the waves and the sand and the sun, and we had a really wonderful family vacation. And yes, Zach was with us, not physically, but in every other way. Baltimore, my hometown, there was a coverage of the shooting of a little girl in the backseat of a car on Edmondson Avenue in West Baltimore. It was in the Sun paper every day for about a week, and she finally succumbed to the injuries and died. That shooting took place within two blocks of where I used to walk to school as an elementary school student, down Edmondson Avenue, and it was on Lyndhurst Street, just two blocks from there. And it just brings home so clearly to me how things have changed in that regard and how safe I felt as a six-year-old walking down that street to school, and how tragic it is that we've lost this beautiful young girl's life. Public policy at the local level, the Columbia, the Festival of the Arts, and the arts are part of public policy, was very successful again this year. And we are so blessed to have such great access to poetry, literature, drama, music. It was a wonderful celebration again here in Columbia. In the state, we are having trouble again with our voting machines in Maryland. That was an issue that I worked on when I was in the state legislature with a guy named Avi Rubin, who was a professor at Hopkins, and who to this day is immensely frustrated that we have not secured our voting machines to the extent that we need to, and that is even more risky in the state of the world today than it has been in the past. The other major issue on the national level, although it took place here in Maryland, was the tragic shooting at the Annapolis Capital Gazette. I used to work with a lot of the reporters at the Annapolis Capital Gazette when I was a member of the Maryland State Legislature, and the open shooting and killing of people in that office here in our state has garnered not only national but worldwide attention, and one more reminder that of the insanity of our not getting our weapons under control. Our planet beyond the U.S., two very heartening stories I've chosen for this month. One is the rescue of the Thai sports team, how everyone so pulled together for that rescue. What amazed me the most was the calm that the leaders were able to instill and keep alive until every one of those kids was rescued alive. And the other story is the World Cup. I actually watched some of the games. My kids tease me about that. I'm not exactly a sports fan. But Belgium, France, Croatia, England, all of these teams playing together with such a good spirit and good camaraderie and respect for each other as human beings. And how wonderful it would be if we could spread that out into more of our lives. And then reflections on our universe. Astronomers have discovered 12 more moons around Jupiter. And when I read that, I thought, oh my God, 12 more moons, that's so immense. And then it comes back to me about just how much more and more we are getting to see about our universe and how just overwhelmingly immense and overwhelmingly inspirational it is that we live in the midst of this enormous universe. So now, back to the program at hand. I'm happy today to have Kali Schumitz with me. Kali is the Director of Communications and Partner Engagement at the Maryland Center on Economic Policy. This is a nonprofit whose director, or lead director, Benjamin Orr, I worked with when I was in the Maryland State Legislature. And they are planning a program over at the Owen Brown Interface Center here in Columbia for next Saturday. It's a day-long program with a very impressive list of participants. And they believe that this group believes and knows that the choices we make as a state shape our neighborhoods and affect our economy. So we will be talking with Kali today about what their plans are for this forum and what we can all learn from it and how we can follow it, if not actually go and participate in it. So welcome, Kali. I'm really happy to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
So, how did it come about that the group decided to put on this particular program?
I'll back up and talk a little bit about our organization. We're a research and advocacy organization focused primarily on state-level policy, fiscal policy, and also all kinds of different things that affect working families and affect our economy. So, one of our founding beliefs is that we believe all Marylanders should be able to reach their full potential in a healthy economy that offers a widely shared rising standard of living. And so that's sort of where the title of this event and our the related policy agenda that we have released earlier this year, where that comes from. It's called a Blueprint for Broadly Shared Prosperity in Maryland. And we're really focused on where we can make different choices as a state to better support thriving communities and opportunity for all Marylanders.
It's particularly appropriate, I think, that we're recording this here at Howard Community College, because I know that it's one of the priorities of the college to include all students of all economic levels, and they really do a very good job of that, and I'm really very proud to have this community college in the community that I live in. So tell us some about the various issues that will be covered on Saturday.
The first thing we'll be doing, we have a new report coming out this week called Budgeting for Opportunity. And that's kind of focused on looking at our state budget as how it affects opportunity for Marylanders of color and other groups. So Maryland's budget provides the clearest reflection of our priorities as a state. That's something we talk about a lot. If you want to know where we place value, you look where we're spending our money. So the choices about where we invest that money have the potential to advance or hinder racial and ethnic equity in Maryland. So this report looks at where we're doing well and also where we need changes to make sure that everyone has access to opportunity in our state. I think the thing, even spending choices that don't, that appear to be neutral on the surface, they can interact with some of the history and legacy of racial discrimination in our state, such as redlining and housing, you know, legal housing segregation. Even though that's not the law anymore, there's still, the legacy still affects where people live. And so that can affect their access to services. It can affect their access to transportation and, you know, how long their commutes are. So those are the kind of things that are looked at in that report. So we'll have a presentation on that. And then following that, we have a couple panel discussions. We have some really great panelists, both from state level experts as well as from national level organizations. So the first panel is going to be focused on the state budget. So it's really looking at where are our major public investments going now? What can we change to build on our state successes so far? And kind of looking at what's coming up down the line. We know that there are some changes coming down from Congress that the state might have to respond to. There's a commission looking at education funding that's going to be making recommendations. So the panel will be diving into that. And then the next panel will be focused on state taxes, kind of looking at how we're paying for those investments, who pays taxes, and where are there kind of special interest loopholes that are baked into our tax code that are creating inequity. They'll also be talking about some current issues that are affecting the state tax code, such as the recent Supreme Court decision on sales taxes that retailers or that the state can collect sales taxes from online retailers. And then we'll be capping that off when we have a great keynote speaker, Alice Rivlin, who's now with the Brookings Institution. She was the founding director of the Congressional Budget Office, and she was the director of the Office of Management and Budget in the first Clinton administration. She's been on the Federal Reserve Board, so she has a wealth of expertise on the federal level. And so she's going to be speaking about the federal budget and how things that are happening now on the federal level might impact Maryland.
Okay. I already had a very high opinion of the center before I learned about this program. But when I had some information on next Saturday forwarded to me, I was really stunned to see Alice Rivlin's name on there. I mean, that is really big time, you know, just I think whether people agree with her or not, I think virtually anyone who's following the economy and taxes has deep, deep respect, not only for her intelligence and her ability, but for the integrity with which she does her work. So I'm really looking forward to having an opportunity to hear her. I wanted to step back a minute, and you mentioned redlining with housing. And that is something that I was unaware that I was living through as a teenager. I mentioned about the shooting of the child in the car down on Edmondson Avenue. And Edmondson Avenue, as it expanded west to out to the end of the Baltimore city line and then into Baltimore County and Howard County, was a very... a place where there was a tremendous amount of redlining that I lived through and never really understood until about 10 years ago what we did to keep out the people of color. I mean, it was that clear. There was, and when I look back on it now and I remember some things that I attended as a high school student, that it's very clear that that's what we were doing, and we were successful for a pretty long time. So, what can someone who's not an economist but who does care. To me, we can break down just about all public policy issues into one of three justice categories: social justice, economic justice, and environmental justice. I've never found a public policy issue that didn't fit, at least in part, into one of those categories. And although my experience has been, only at the Howard County level and the Maryland state level, it appears to me that economic justice is the hardest one to crack. And in some ways, I was going to say in some ways it's the most important of the three, but I guess that's because it is the most difficult mm-hmm. to really attain justice in. And how in the work you do, how do you see it? How do you maintain a certain degree of optimism, which I assume you must have to if you're continuing to work, to choose to work in this area?
Absolutely. So I think one of the good things that helps us maintain optimism is that being in Maryland, there are a lot of people in the state legislature who are committed to working on these issues. We have some, and there are a lot of great organizations that we work with as well that support this work. So I think there are a lot of people really committed to making a difference, and we are making some changes. For example, in this just past legislative session, we expanded the earned income tax credit. So that's about 40,000 Marylanders who are able to get this tax credit for low-income working people who weren't able to get it before. So that's not going to solve all of our problems overnight, but the fact that we are able to make these small changes over time, I think, is making a difference and is making Maryland better off than some other states. We still have work to do, but I think there are a lot of good opportunities here for Maryland to be a leader on these policies.
That would certainly be great. And I guess to an extent we already are too. You know, it's mm-hmm. not as embedded, the injustice, as it is in some other states, I don't believe. But what is it that we can ask average citizens to do to try to help with this situation? Do you know of anything?
So I think the first thing is getting familiar with issues and you know, I think people a lot of times look at something like the state budget and just dismiss it as, you know, that's too complicated or that doesn't have anything to do with me. And I think going to an event like this or, you know, reading some of the other products that we put out, trying to help, we're really committed to helping people understand these issues so that they can then take that knowledge and talk to their elected officials and support positive changes. Being in the summer, there's not any, you know, advocacy campaigns happening right this second. But I think there are, as I mentioned, us and a number of other groups that are working on these issues all the time and trying to spread the word and help people better understand where changes need to be made.
I want to mention one more time why I think it's so appropriate that you're holding this event, this program here in Columbia. Is because of the way Jim Rouse conducted himself as the founder and head of the Rouse Company and how he made it very clear. I happened to be living here before the first shovel of earth was turned for the construction of Columbia and became aware. I was a young mom, had graduated from college with a degree in literature, was not working outside of the home. And Rouse made it, and I lived actually right about a tenth of a mile from the western border of what was going to be Columbia. And I recall from the very beginning Jim Rouse saying that he was going to build a community where the CEO and the janitor could live in the same neighborhood. And he did it. I mean, mm-hmm. he really, honest to God, did it. And we're slipping away from that now. We have been for some time. It's difficult. It's still, I think, Columbia still is one of the most advanced communities in the country on racial justice and other justice issues, but we are no longer the community where the CEO and the janitor can live in the same community, particularly where the new development is taking place in downtown Columbia. And for those of us who have been around for a long time, can be difficult to see so much building going on in downtown Columbia, but I certainly understand things change and growth takes place, and that's a good thing. But to see the almost all of the homes that are going up are not even going to be accessible to middle-income people. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to be upper-middle-income. So it's that's one of the reasons why I'm so pleased that this was chosen as the location for your program on Saturday.
Yeah, and those housing affordability issues are something that affect communities statewide. That's one of the biggest challenges that we're seeing right now. It's hard to get ahead if you can't afford a place to live or you're not in stable housing. And those housing prices force people into certain areas. And there's not a lot of assistance available to help people afford the housing.
Would you tell us a little bit about some of the workshops on Saturday?
Sure. So I guess we have our morning program, which I ran through the general agenda for that. Mm-hmm. And then following that, after lunch on our keynote with Alice Rivlin, we're going to have a advocacy workshop for people who it's a chance for people to really dig into the budget process more and kind of learn the most effective ways to make their voices heard on budget issues. That'll be a little bit more interactive than the morning presentations, and it's a good opportunity to learn about the process of the state budget, how decisions are made, and how to kind of stay informed and make your voice heard on budget issues.
How do you think Maryland stacks up against other states and how we're doing on these housing and economic justice issues?
I would say largely Maryland is doing better, but that doesn't mean that we can't do more. I think we have a lot of opportunity. You know, we've taken some good steps, but there are a lot of opportunities to build on those successes and build on what we've done more and increase opportunity, kind of make additional investments in our communities that support broadly shared prosperity, as we were talking about.
And is it your hope or your intention that some of the things that come out of this day's work will show up in Annapolis next year in the legislative session?
Yes, that's always our hope. So we have a broader policy agenda that we released in April that we've been sharing with various people around the state, which has the same title, A Blueprint for Broadly Shared Prosperity. And we use the term blueprint because we have kind of an outline of different policies, both on the budget side, ways we can improve our tax code. We also look at policies that support working families, like to increase the minimum wage, other policies that support workers, like paid leave and that kind of thing. And then also looking at what Maryland needs to do to kind of respond to our changing relationship with the federal government. Obviously, a lot of changes right now with the way Congress is approaching things, the way the current administration in Washington is approaching things, and Maryland needs to be prepared to step up.
So I think it's safe to say that everyone will be impacted by one or another or more of the things that are going to be discussed next Saturday in some way or another, either themselves or their children or their older parents. And that's without even getting into the race and cultural issues.
Right.
So it's a program that's going to affect everyone, whether they know it or not.
Yes, I think the way the state invests in our communities can be kind of invisible. Then people just take for granted that there are roads and trains and good schools. But those are all things that our state has collectively chosen to invest in, that we've chosen to make those things a priority. So we really want to help people understand that better through this program.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, those investments in our schools and our parks, you know, those are what have made Maryland a great place to live, a good place to work. That's what why businesses want to be here, because we all have a good quality of life. I think where the economic justice point comes in is that not everyone in Maryland is experiencing those opportunities in the same way. And, you know, we're not trying to take something away from someone else, but we just see that we're all better off when our neighbors are thriving, our communities are all thriving. That makes our whole economy stronger, that makes our community stronger. So that's kind of the policy choices that mm-hmm. we'll be talking about.
How can people who will be listening to this podcast know where to go to find out more about what you do in your organization?
Sure.
And how it might impact them?
Yes. So our website is mdeconomy.org. We have a lot of different information on there, and as well information about this event is available, and as well as the links to purchase tickets and register for this event are there as well. We're not quite sold out yet. We do still have some spots available if anyone's interested in attending. And we do have some free tickets available for anyone who has a financial hardship. There's information on our website about how to contact us. We want to make sure that this information is accessible to anyone who's interested.
Well, I'm going to be there. And if you could look beyond this Saturday, what would be your highest hopes of what might come out of this in the short term, and then maybe in the medium term and in the long term on this most important economic justice issue?
I think that goes back to what we were talking about before, you know, our organization's belief that we want all Marylanders to be able to reach their full potential in a healthy economy that offers a widely shared rising standard of living. And I think everything we're trying to do feeds back into that. So that's this event to kind of increase understanding about how the state budget processes work, how our tax system is affecting different people differently, and talking about what's coming up in the near term and in terms of, you know, discussions about education funding, discussions about how to change the way our sales tax works so it reflects a modern economy. Those kind of current issues that we know are going to be coming up, so that people are ready to make their voices heard and share their opinion with their elected officials going forward. And then ultimately, we're hopeful that, you know, some of the policy ideas that we're putting forward in our blueprint will become law. So.
It's a good hope. Yeah. I want to thank you for being here with us today, Kali, and also to thank you for what, as a bright young woman who could have a lot of choices, how you're choosing to live your life. You told me you worked as a reporter for years and then chose to take on this economic justice work, and I just want to tell you that as a human being, I really appreciate your doing that. And wish you a very good program on Saturday, followed by a very good life.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. This has been Liz Bobo with Reflections on Life.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.